Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle-Aged Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, middle-aged gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Good morning and good evening, everyone. Unfortunately, today Antoine is not available. His parents are in Canada, so today you just get the OG duo, Adam and Crean, to talk about gaming news, gaming trends, what's hot, what's not hot, and what we've been playing, pretty much. Welcome to the Middle Age Gaming Podcast. Thank you for joining us this early Taiwanese morning, or this somewhat late Eastern Standard Time, if you're in Virginia or the East Coast of Canada. Welcome. This is a show about 37, 40 minutes or so. We talk about all things gaming. And as usual, we're going to start talking about gaming news. And we have four stories to talk about today, maybe a bit more depending how time goes. Stay tuned, relax, do what you need to do and listen to us in the background or watch us because we always love when eyeballs are on the show. And let's get started with Adam and his game that he's been playing.
Cyberpunk, but also Home Sweet Home. And oh my god, I am done with this game, but it is not ending. Ugh, I am just waiting for this game to end.
Why is it not ending?
It just keeps going. There's just more. You're like, okay, we're getting to a point where it's okay, we've defeated Ratri, who was the boss they set up at the end of the first game. Okay, she's defeated. Great. Fantastic. Oh no. We're going to a Buddhist temple, and this Buddhist guy is going to give us knives, and we're going to have to go through graveyards and raid and kill zombies and stuff. Okay, great, we've done that. Hey, we've got this magic knife, now we can save our wife. No, you're going to go into a dungeon and fight a blind executioner who has been resurrected by the evil Chai. Okay, we've defeated him, but there's more, and I don't know what's left because that's where I left off. But my problems with the game is really not the fact that it goes on. I've noticed a lot of these games, Home Sweet Home, to an extent, Arayo actually wasn't that bad, but I remember quite a bit in the game I played last year, Dreadout, where they start off and they're creepy, and then just the longer they go on, they just go off the rails, and they go from a relatively simple concept to these, you're just in these really weird places, and you're just all over the place. But the real issue with this game has nothing to do with the story. It has nothing to do with the length, and it has everything to do with the gameplay. It's just, the first one was okay. It was a little bit annoying with some of the AI. This one, there are just some really bad design choices that were made, and I don't say that lightly, but it seems to clearly be a case where the people who are making the game were also the people testing the game, so they're not seeing the flaws. For example, one of the boss fights to defeat Ratri, what happens is there's mannequins set up all around this big auditorium, but there's also desks and chairs strewn about, so it's not in a big open space. They have kind of corridors that you have to run through. And the thing is, Ratri will possess one of these mannequins, wander around for a while, maybe chase you, and then disappear, and then she'll possess a new mannequin. The thing is, when she's about to possess a mannequin, the lights will flicker, so it'll tell you which mannequin she's going to possess, but the thing is, you might possess the first one, or it might start flickering somewhere else. So you have an idea of where she might appear, but there's no guarantee she will appear there. You might go to that point, and then she ends up actually appearing on the other side of the room. And because of that, you can't do a really good job of predicting where she's going to be. And there's probably about 20 mannequins in the room. So your best bet is, what you have to do is you have to put a nail in the mannequin. And then when she tries to possess it, then she kind of gets stuck in it, and then you can attack her there. But the thing is, the way you're supposed to do it, or the most effective method, is actually to stab a knife into one mannequin, hide, and then hope that she's going to possess that mannequin when there's like a 1 in 20 chance of her possessing it. And then that's what you have to do. That's basically the only way you can beat this. Because if you try to do it if you try to run around and do it, you could stab it in the mannequin only to realize, nope, she's going to come into another mannequin across the room. You have to grab the nail out, and there's no way you can make it across the room before she spawns. And if she does spawn and she sees you, she's going to kill you, because you can't fight her once she's out. You have to catch her when she's spawning. And it's just really tedious and really painful. So that was really annoying. When I was fighting the executioner, he's blind, but he can hear you, but it's not consistent when he can hear you. So like, even if you're crouching, which is stealth, you know, sometimes he might be way down the corridor, and then you're just crouching really slowly, and then he just turns around and starts charging you because he heard you. Other times, you're walking right up behind him, and he doesn't hear you. So it's a random chance as to whether you get caught or not. you basically are just sitting there praying the whole time, like, okay, don't turn around, don't turn around, don't turn around, because there's just no way around it. And for the zombie fight, just collision detection is awful. Like, you're just sitting there like, and you get, imagine like your hitbox is like just a small little square on their chest. And if you don't hit that exactly, it's not going to kill them. And it's just extremely tedious. So it, yeah, I am like, this game, just please be over.
But this game was made by a small team, right? It's not a triple A game. It's like a single A or like a double A game.
Single A, I would probably say. But see, that's the thing. The thing is, the first game, and like I said, it was made in two parts. So it really felt like, how I said last time, it felt like they were making the game and they just ran out of time. And they were like, okay, let's just end it here and we'll make the second part later. And it felt like when they were making the second part, they were like, we don't want to do the same thing. Let's try these new ideas because it'll be exciting. Let's change up the formula and stuff like that. But then they just didn't have the experience to make it work. And yeah, so it just felt like, so the first one, I would say the first half is okay. I would give the first half maybe like a 7, maybe a 7.5. And the second one, I'd give it like a 5. Yeah, so the first half is okay. But the second half is just, yeah, it just feels incredibly buggy.
Like going back to time managed or time spent on the game, like you, like when you're playing something, like do you never do the typical Google of, okay, how many hours to finish X game?
I have before, but I haven't done it with this one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're not like, like, where would you say you are at the moment?
I have no idea because I've killed the executioner, I think. I shot him with a cannon. I'm pretty sure that killed him, although he's already undead, so hard to say. So I think I just need to get to Chai, but I don't know because, like I said previously, I thought I was like, okay, we're going to go to Chai, and then suddenly I was in this ancient dungeon with spike traps, so I have no idea what they're going to put between me and him this time. So we'll see. It could just be I walk through a door and he's there, and it could just as easily be another dungeon.
Okay.
Unless they throw some other magic at me. There's been an Aswang flying around on occasion. It attacked me once, so I don't know. Maybe that'll show up and I'll have to fight that again. There's no telling.
Interesting. And what are you going to stream after that?
I haven't decided yet. I don't know. I'm debating whether I should stream Cyberpunk or not, but I might pick something else. But I'm not sure. I'm open to ideas.
Did you stream the Tactics Ogre replay that?
No, I did not, because Tactics Ogre I played on the PS Vita, and it is really hard to stream from the Vita.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, yes. Now I'm remembering having this conversation about Tactics Ogre.
Yeah.
Because I saw the price on the Switch, and I'm like, it's a full $60 release. I'm like, damn. So that's on my Switch wish list at some point when it's on sale. So I'm going to get that because it looked really fun. People are like, yeah, this is a good game.
It was a good game. There were some issues that I had with Let Us Cling Together, but looking at some of the changes they've made for, was it Reborn?
Yeah, it's Tactics Ogre Reborn.
Reborn. Some of the changes that they made for Reborn make it look like it would definitely be more enjoyable because it seemed to be the issues that I was like, oh. For example, in Let Us Cling Together, characters are leveled by class. So if your character is a knight and he is level 60 as a knight, if you change him to an archer, he might be level 1, but then all your archers are level 1. And if you switch him back to a knight, he's level 60 again. So each class is leveled, not the character. And that made it really difficult because maybe later on in the game, you might get access to a new class. But if you're fighting level 50 people and you get this new class and this new class is set at level 1, it's really hard to level up that class. You can level it up faster if you use two characters of that class. But the thing is if you use two characters of that class, now you're two characters down rather than one character down. So, yeah. So
that's a great segue actually into Warhammer Demon Hunter, which is the problem you just mentioned is one of the small issues I'm having is like when you start off the game, they're like, they give you basic classes like interceptors, justicars, purgitators, and apothecaries. Apothecaries are healers, justicars are like captains or team leaders, I would say. Purgitators are the guys that use the really big guns, and interceptors are the guys who can move through the warp and teleport basically. Because the Grey Knights in Warhammer lore are the knights that have psychic abilities. They can utilize the energy that Chaos uses without being transformed into weird Chaos demons. And now as I'm like 25 hours into the game, okay, by the way, here are all these other traditional classes, librarians, paladins, and then, but these guys, this is just what you mentioned with Tactics Ogre, is they start off at level 2 or level 3, and then all the guys you've been using since hour 1 of the game are now level 7 or level 6. They have all these abilities unlocked. And I'm like, why would I want to use these other cool classes? They have these cool abilities, but they're just so underleveled as far as willpower and stuff. And is the pains. I've been trying to level them up. But yeah, no, I'm still playing Warhammer Demon Hunters. Warhammer Chaos Gate Demon Hunters is the full name, because Antoine pointed out that somebody asked what Warhammer game was this. So this is what I've been still enjoying it, though I am getting to the point where I'm feeling a little bit like I want to play something else, because I'm at a stage in the game where I need to destroy these five Chaos Seeds, but it takes roughly 15 days to research each Chaos Seed. And these are the five mini bosses, and I imagine there's a big boss fight after that. So I've killed one. I've got another four more, so it'll be 60 days. 15 days of research time is about an hour of real game time. So that's at least another 5 hours. And in between those 5 hours, you're also traveling between planets doing other missions. So I can imagine I'm still another 15 hours from finishing this game. But it's still really fun. The combat's really fun. My GPU is still struggling to play this in a big way. And we'll talk about that later on when we talk about the news. But yeah, that is it for me. And why don't we jump into your story for today, your first story.
Okay. So for my first story, we have the Game Awards are officially... Oh, there, I need to hit the reset button on... The Game Awards have officially released their... Officially released their nominees for basically all of their categories. You can go to their website right now and you can register to vote. And you can vote for your game for best game direction, best music. The heavy hitters, from what I've heard, are Elden Ring and God of War. And that God of War has 10 nominations, or is nominated in 10 categories. Elden Ring is nominated in 7. Apparently Horizon Forbidden West is also nominated in 7. A Plague Tale Requiem is nominated for several. I didn't count how many. I guess not quite as many, but those seem to be the big ones in the sense that they are showing up in multiple categories. So yeah, just go to the Game Awards and sign in. Yeah, vote. So that's my news. Short and simple, but interesting, and I thought relevant.
Definitely very relevant. My question, God of War, Horizon, these seem, of course, they're PlayStation somewhat exclusives in a sense. Is this a good thing for Sony? Is that going to make a difference to the current fate of Sony's Game Plus? Sony Plus? What is that thing called?
Oh, the PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, PlayStation Plus, yes.
I don't think it will have a huge impact on PlayStation Plus. I think from Sony's perspective, this is mostly just good for advertising. The fact that they have two of their exclusives up there. But in terms of PlayStation Plus, it's one of those things where I would put money on them showing up in the, especially the higher tier for free, eventually. The original, or I shouldn't say the original, but the reboot of God of War in 2018 and Horizon Zero Dawn are both in there. So if you do have the higher tiers, you do get them. And it seems, and a lot of other games, I don't think Ghost of Tsushima is in there yet, but I think Days Gone is in there. I think Last of Us, or maybe even Last of Us 2 is in there. So it seems that they are eventually going. It's just they're not day one like they are on Game Pass. It's just they come maybe a year later. So I don't think it'll have a huge impact on it, but I think it'll be good advertising for Sony to be like, hey, we have some exclusives that made it. Who else has exclusives up there?
Do you think that's going to impact people paying for... God, I already forgot it. Game
PS Plus. No, PS I don't think it'll have a big impact on that. We saw, what was it, last week you were talking about? Yeah, I only saw it in the news, but they were saying that subscription has gone down.
Yes, that's why I'm bringing this up, because I'm like, Sony, I think, has that reputation for making these like amazing, the equivalent of Hollywood blockbusters, right? But at the same time, it's not had an effect on their bottom line, which has me worried about the state of gaming competition moving forward.
Yeah, no, honestly, I don't think it'll have a huge impact on PlayStation Plus subscription.
Here's another controversial question for you, Adam. Do you think gaming awards matter now to people? Like, I realize I don't pay attention to gaming awards anymore.
Of course they matter to people. In the sense that the Oscars matter. I think it matters in the sense that it has the opposite effect of what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to celebrate games, but I think it matters in the sense that throwing these things out there is going to cause controversy and it's going to cause people to argue. And ultimately, that is what I think. Ultimately, that is going to get people talking about games. A lot of times, it's going to get people fighting over games. But yeah, I think they matter in that sense. In that we are in an era where people want to be angry, and so therefore, they want to watch these things. And I think on a you know, on a certain level, you want your guys to win, but on a certain level, you want to your guys to lose so you can be the underdog and feel like you're defending something and white knighting for your game.
But like talking about the middle-aged gaming demographic or our demographic.
Oh,
like,
no. For people our age, I don't think they care as much. I think this is more younger people.
That's what I was thinking about. I'm like, as you're talking about, I'm like, I can't remember the last time I looked at a Game of Worlds. And even if I bought a game, it was like winners, five winners of Game of the Year. I'm like, I don't care. Does this fit into my categories of RPGs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I have all these categories. Okay, now I want to play a funny game. Now I want to play a serious game. Now I want to play a RTS game. And that's how I buy. And I think it's, will this fit into, can I save my game after playing for 30 minutes and then do some work? And it's interesting.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I think it's looking at, I'm trying to find it here, but one of the categories is best like content creator. And if you look at like content creator and esports and that sort of thing, they're a content creator of the year. These are all young people. None of them have broken 30. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. And so because of this, every single content creator is a younger content creator. So I think this is definitely more for the youth. They also have like best esports athlete. I don't know who people are. But again, all younger people. So I think that the Game Awards is really more for your generation. And it gears more towards that audience. Just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And it's cool that you brought it up. I'm like, our age, boomers, gaming awards don't matter.
Yeah. Not quite a boomer, but...
Aren't we boomers?
Oh, our parents were boomers.
Oh, damn, yes. All right, let's move on to my story, which I unfortunately would like to talk about with disdain, but this is what you guys were searching for, so this is what we're going to talk about. So apparently in the last few days, in the last week or so, people have been talking about the Tommy Hilfiger gaming set. If you can believe it, and not to mention it is $150. You get some RGB stuff, a mouse, a headset, and a keyboard. My overall takeaway is basically do not buy this set, middle-aged gamers. Especially if you're our age, like turning 40 or 40 years old, you're too old to be wearing Tommy Hilfiger, to be honest. Like, it's not worth your money. And if you're somebody who's younger, you want to buy some gaming peripherals, I would say as a gamer, you're probably playing the hottest stuff. Like, Adam used to play Apex or Valorant or Overwatch 2. You don't need a fantastic keyboard. I would spend $75 on a good mouse, $75 on a good headset. If you'd like to check out a headset video, you should check out Adam and mine's headset video. We talked about the Razer Black Shark. We talked about Adam's, I forgot what, Adam's Cooler Master. Yes, those are fantastic value and also about the same price point, right? Like $50. Again, what Tommy Hilfiger probably did, they found a factory in China. They said, hey, give us a good deal. These things probably cost the factory $30 to make. The factory makes $5 in each set. Tommy Hilfiger takes the rest of it and they marked it at $150, branded with the Tommy Hilfiger stuff. And this is what you're getting. If you don't trust us, trust all the other YouTubers, but you should be trusting us anyway. Not worth your money. In a mouse, in a headset, you're looking for good sound quality, you're looking for good microphone quality. In a mouse, you're looking for something light. The designs look good. These things do look aesthetically pleasing. The RGB looks awesome if you're into RGB. But yeah, basically just not worth the money. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, no, I would not do this, especially because, okay, if the whole point of Tommy Hilfiger and all that is fashion, right? The whole point is that people see you with this brand. Who's going to see you, your keyboard? Okay, the headset, maybe people will see that. But even if you're a streamer, people aren't going to be looking at your mouse or keyboard most of the time. So exactly. Yeah, to me, it kind of, I don't really get it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of touch.
No, I think it's just going back to our previous story. It's just we are the wrong demographic for this. And even if you are the right demographic, this is just literally Tommy Hilfiger is stealing your money. Don't even bother.
More power to Tommy Hilfiger, though.
Yeah. Going back to you can get like companies like MSI, like Gigabyte, like Corsair, like Cooler Master. All these people make Kingston. They make good gaming accessories, good gaming peripherals. Makes the Thermaltake, right? Again, another wonderful Taiwanese company. They make really affordable gaming peripherals. Like they look nice, and they have the gaming cred to say, hey, this is $40 or $30 or $50, and actually you're getting good value for your money, right? It's not a huge gap, but the money that you're paying and for what you're getting is just not there. Okay, Adam, what is your Killing Story. Yes.
The Killing Story? Okay, yeah. So we're going to go to that one then. So my next story is, I can't remember who the guy was. Ah, you said it.
Amalaki.
Okay, yeah. He worked in...
He was the guy who created Oculus.
Okay,
and sold
it
to
the creator
Facebook.
Of Oculus has claimed that he has created a VR headset that can kill you when you die in the game, a la Sword Art Online, which, honestly, I don't really understand how that's too big of an accomplishment for two reasons. One, why would you want something that can kill you? Two, how hard is it to, like, with haptic feedback and stuff like that, I'm really all you have to do is add a bullet to a thing, right? And it's not like it's this amazing invention that was impossible to create in the past, right? I had rumble packs since forever. So the fact that you have some sort of physical feedback on a peripheral is not an amazing thing. Yeah, the whole purpose of this, I just don't see why this is a thing at all. Just because, A, yeah, why would you want it? And B, how is this an accomplishment in that you're not really doing anything that we couldn't have done back in the 90s, other than the VR headset, of course. But yeah, the fact that this is even a thing is newsworthy, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this, I saw this story. I'm like, oh God, this guy, because I know Parmalaki, and you guys know I like to get political. Adam and I were just talking about politics before the show. Parmalaki is a very famous right-wing person, and like he funded some weird ranch on the border between Texas and Mexico, and they're like, hey guys, here's some money, stop Mexican people from getting into the United States. He's done some weird things. This is another weird thing, and it just makes me question his like sanity and stuff. Why would you want to make this? This is crazy. And I'm gonna sneeze. Sorry, my allergies are killing me today. But yeah, no, I think this is weird. Good thing that Facebook bought Oculus and they're doing things better with it. It's now called the MetaQuest. And the MetaQuest is actually doing pretty well, relatively speaking, despite Facebook having laid off people. I think a VR headset that kills you is never going to be a thing. I like Adam's idea of putting rumble packs inside and giving you that feeling off a headshot or dying in a game if you really wanted it. I would never want that. But yeah, tell us what you guys think. I mean, why did Parmalaki make this? Because Adam and I have no idea. Besides to get on the news and stuff.
That's exactly why I did.
Yes, yes, exactly. The guy exited Oculus for $2 billion. Has he run out of money and that he needs to make more money? Maybe that's it.
I think he just wants attention and he's not getting it recently.
Maybe that's exactly it. Young billionaires and they do crazy things like FTX in
old
the United States.
Do it. Look at Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah, buying Twitter and then deciding, oh God, Twitter's going to go bankrupt because of the Seder things. Okay, let's move on to my story, which is the RTX 4080. The RTX 4080 is out. It is the Founders Edition, I should say. The Founders Edition, if you're not a graphics card person, is the card that comes directly from NVIDIA. So wherever you are in the world, you go to NVIDIA.com, you go to the store, you buy that from NVIDIA, you will get a Founders Edition card. So this card is not optimized. I shouldn't say optimized is the wrong word. It's not overclocked and nothing has been done to it. The base settings that NVIDIA gives the manufacturers like Gigabyte, like MSI, like Asus, like Acer, this is like they usually do things to the cards. This has nothing done to it. This is what NVIDIA suggests and this is what you're getting. And so yeah, the Founders Edition card is out. So if you guys remember the original 4090 when it came out 2 months ago, is a $1,500, so that's pretty expensive, right? That's two PlayStation 5s with a bunch of other stuff together, if I'm not mistaken, Adam.
$1,500, it should be nearly three PlayStation 5s.
Okay, three PlayStation 5s. Yeah, this card is out. They have a 16 gigabyte version for $1,200. They have a 12 gigabyte version for $900. So good thing is, like the good news, you guys are linked to this, price is back to normal, right? I paid $900 for my 3070 Ti last year, and that was the elevated price. So you're getting an overall better card for the same amount of money I paid for my card last year. And my card is a loud, hot beast. So Black Friday is coming up in 2 weeks, which is why this is something you might want to consider. You're probably not likely to get this at a discount. You might get it at a 10% or maybe even a 5% discount. What you most likely get this at is a 3080 card with a bundle, like back in the day where you'd got like this game's out and you get this with this game. You might get Elden Ring Game of the Year, or you might get, I don't know what else you'd get with it, like one of the PS5 games that are on PC, Miles Morales or Spider-Man is out, might get that bundled in. But basically, if you have a 3080, and you're getting a 4080 if you're looking at the 3D Mark Fire Truck on YouTube. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you should look at it. There's about a 6,000 number difference between the 3080 and the 4080. Basically, what this is going to do is, and I'll put the link to this, this is from IGN, so IGN, thank you for that. There's not a huge difference, a significant amount of difference at 4K. If you just are a 1080 gamer, if you have a 1080 screen, you don't need a 3080. You don't need a 4080. But if you are gaming at 4K and you are like me, listen to our earlier segment where I talked about Warhammer 4K, and you are struggling to play some games at 4K, this is the card for you. I kind of regret buying my 3070 Ti last year, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be upgrading anytime soon. But yeah, if you have a 20 series card, if you have a lower end 30 series card, yeah, you should definitely consider buying one. It's definitely an affordable price. You don't know what's going to happen next year. And yeah, so this card is out. Go order it. Let us know what you think. Tweet at us, twitter.com/middleagegaming. And I would love to hear. Cool. Adam, any other stories you want to talk about?
Unfortunately, there's only one more. It's a sad news. Unfortunately, the death of Kevin Conroy. Everybody probably knows him as the voice of Batman. And in my opinion, the greatest Batman. Along with Mark Hamill being the greatest Joker we've ever had. Sorry, Heath Ledger, but Mark Hamill's my guy. But unfortunately, he passed. I believe he was 66 years old and it was cancer. So it's sad news, but something that...
Yep, I totally agree with you. I just got a Batman figurine yesterday because I'm a big Batman fan. Batman's number one up there with me with Green Arrow as far as comic books, TV shows go. It's a real shame. I think it's going to be hard to find another great, prolific Batman voice actor again. But I'm looking forward to when things change. There's always new ways to do stuff. So I'm looking forward to whoever the next Batman actor is going to be. We do know, right, Rocksteady is not making another Batman game. They're making a Suicide game, Suicide Squad game. But there will be Batman in that game. So I wonder if Kevin Conroy did the voice acting for that before he passed. That would be interesting. Yep.
66, yep. So young.
Yes, very young, very young. We're 26 years away. I'll be 26 years away from 66. So that's not a long time. That's unfortunate. Yes. So Adam, what are you going to be streaming?
Home Sweet Home again. Until that's done, and once I'm done with Home Sweet Home, I don't know. If you guys have some suggestions, I might, I'm open. Otherwise, I don't know. We'll have to see, because I could do Cyberpunk, but I feel like there's probably something better out there. I feel like I do better for streaming. I feel like it's better to either do something like Apex, but not that good. Otherwise, do something that's pretty short, carry in, or something where you have a relatively high turnover of games, I feel is a little more interesting. Not for me, but I think just for an audience to see something different every couple weeks or so. But I will be having more time for streaming for the next month or so. So I will be streaming 3 times a week, possibly 4, instead of the 2 that I had been doing. So yeah, I've been streaming on Saturday nights. Koreans abandoned me, but I still make sure that I'm there for you guys. So.
Yeah, I should be back. So me and Adam are going to be back to No Man's Sky. At least the earliest will be the 12th of December that week. Because from the 12th of December, I will no longer be in this space and I will have a permanent green screen up. Actually, no, I will have a permanent gaming background up, very similar to Adam's background. Of course, without no Gundams for me because while Gundams are really cool, I definitely do not have Adam's patience for that. But yeah, no. So from that week, I will be back to streaming with Adam on the weekends. Maybe we'll do No Man's Sky. Maybe we'll do, because I saw Adam, you installed Valheim.
I did install Valheim, and then I tried streaming it because, what was it, when Home Sweet Home episode 1, which was not episode 1, it was just called Home Sweet Home, when it ended, I was so shocked and surprised that I was like, I don't have a game set up for you guys. Okay, fine. So then I was going to stream some Nier Reincarnation, but that was just going slow, and then I was like, all right, I have Valheim installed. So I launched it, and then every time I try to open up a world, it crashes, and I haven't figured out why yet. So I need to figure out what's going on there.
Is Valheim on the PS5 or?
No, I don't even think it's available on the PS5. I have it on PC.
Okay, so what that might be just be your graphics card. Valheim is notoriously horribly optimized. So like my brother had to buy a new graphics card to play Valheim.
But the graphics are so simple.
Yes, but it's like horrible. Like even a computer on Valheim heats up as if I'm playing Sniper Elite in 4K or Warhammer in 4K, even though that game, it does look pretty bad. So we might not be able to play Valheim together.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
Cool. So next week, I was telling Adam, I will probably not be here unless we change the Mac podcast time for next week, because I have to interview someone else on that Wednesday morning. So Adam and Antoine might do another show. I do start to see Black Friday searches going up. So maybe you guys will do like a Black Friday episode next week, especially since Black Friday is the week after that. Yeah, we'll see. All right. And then, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. Kevin Conroy, Tommy Hilfiger, and Killable VR. And we'd love to hear our thoughts. And then we'll see you guys next week for sure.
Later. That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!